Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the ones in need. For every thirst and every hunger, you are everything. Blessed are the worn and weary. Blessed are the ones who grieve. In every moment unexpected, you are everything. To see
Our scripture today comes from the 6th chapter of Luke, verses 17 through 26. Jesus came down with them and stood at a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the east coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is the Transfiguration Sunday. And I want to just take a moment to unpack some of what we see and hear here. One of the things that I enjoy is finding teachers and preachers that have a different way of looking at things and are able to give me insights that I haven't had on my own. And one that I'm currently following quite closely is a man by the name of Tim Keller, who is a pastor emeritus at Redeemer Presbyterian in Manhattan. See, I always had a problem with Jesus playing favorites and taking Peter, James, and John with him everywhere he seemed to go. Tim Keller was looking at it, and he says, well, my wife's a teacher, and what I finally began to understand is the ones that she keeps with her are the ones that need extra help. So it could be that Peter, James, and John are with Jesus because he's not sure that he wants to leave them on their own. Or maybe they need a little extra reinforcement going forward. You know, Peter is going to be the rock on which Jesus builds the church, and maybe he's not quite ready yet. And James and John, the sons of thunder, God knows what they might get into if he left them alone. So there they are up on the mountain. But then we come to something where I wish we had a better understanding of what ancient Greek was. It says, the appearance of his face changed and he seemed to glow, and his clothes became dazzling white, more bright than any bleacher could make them. It fails to convey what is happening here, but there is a miraculous change in Jesus. And suddenly the disciples saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to Jesus. Well, Moses is the embodiment of the law. Everything about Moses is the giving of the Ten Commandments and telling the people how to be the people of God from the beginning. Elijah is the first and greatest prophet. And if you are a good Jewish follower, you understand that every single festival involves Moses or Elijah or Moses and Elijah, and that it's kind of like the Hall of Fame, and the Hall of Fame has two people in it, Moses and Elijah. You go up the mountain, they're both there. Peter blurts out, it's good for us to be here. Let's build dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Why would he say something stupid like that? Because he wanted to stay there and savor the moment? I've heard people talk about that. But actually, again, if you go and put yourself in a Jewish mindset, these three Jewish disciples, the time when Moses and Elijah come together is at the Feast of the Tabernacles. In the Feast of the Tabernacles, what you do is you go outside and you build a tabernacle that has a little hole in it so you can look to the heavens. So what would you do if Moses and Elijah showed up at your house? You'd say, must be the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's set it up and build the tabernacles outside. But they don't understand what's actually happening. And then the cloud comes and overshadows them, and they're terrified. I don't know if you've ever been on a mountaintop where you go into the cloud. I served a church in the mountains in the Appalachians, and the clouds would come through, and everything just disappears. Something even more miraculous happens here. A voice inside the cloud said, "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." I'm surprised that Peter, James, and John are still alive. I mean, if Moses and Elijah show up at my house, I'm not sure my heart could take that. Then a cloud overwhelms us. And then a voice in the cloud says, "This is my son, the chosen." God is in the cloud with you on the mountain. If you weren't petrified and stunned before, that should surely do it. I'm thinking maybe they did kind of take a dive there for a minute. Because it says, when the voices spoken, Jesus was found alone. So in the matter of however long that took, the cloud went away, Moses went away, Elijah went away, and it's just Jesus. Just Jesus. Kind of interesting way to look at it. So what has happened on this mountain is called the Transfiguration. One of the things I struggle with in this life is words can mean anything you want them to mean, which makes it really, really difficult to communicate anything. Because every time you use a word, you have to describe what it means the way you're using it. It's kind of like being changed, but being changed in a bigger way. Sometimes Jesus changes in simple ways and sometimes in bolder ways. In the Bible, Abram is called out of Ur of the Chaldeans and he becomes Abraham, the father of nations. 90-year-old Sarai becomes Sarah when she laughs as God tells her she is going to be the mother of the tribes of Israel. Jacob the grasper becomes Israel. Saul the persecutor becomes Paul the disciple. Simon becomes Peter the rock. Name changes indicate something, and sometimes it challenges people to be more. Back in the golden age of Hollywood, there was a young girl named Frances Gum who wanted to be a star. And everybody was skeptical till they heard her sing. One of the moguls said, "What's your name?" And she said, "Frances Gum." He says, "That's not going to work. I think I'm going to call you Judy Garland." And a star was born. A gentleman came in and he read the script and they said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name's Archibald Leach." He says, "No." He says, "You got to have something with more style than that. I think I'm going to call you Cary Grant." Then a bold, tall, raw-boned guy came in the door. He read for a part and wanted to be in one of the shows that Hawks was putting on, and they said, "What's your name?" He says, "Marion." They said, "Nope." He says, "That's not going to work for a man like you. I'm going to call you John Wayne." And in doing so, they became what their name signified. And there's a change there, but it doesn't quite get to what transfiguration is. So then there was a movie a while ago. It was kind of a fun action adventure thing. It was called Transformers. And Tyrese Gibson and Megan Fox and John Voight are working with these cars that could turn into robots and these robots who could turn back into cars, and they go back and forth and back and forth. But see, that's not really transfiguration either, because they can go from being a car to being a robot, or robot, new car, anytime they want. They just go back and forth as need arises. See, a transformation is different than a transfiguration. A transfiguration, you can't go backwards. You're stepping forward in a direction you cannot retreat to. A better movie example, my favorite, is Captain America. See, in Captain America, Steve Rogers has the heart of a patriot, but he has the body of a 98-pound weakling. And he receives the super serum. And when he does, he grows taller. His shoulders get broader. He gets physical strength and abilities that he never had before, and they can't take the serum back. As he goes forward, it's the only direction he can go. A couple of more everyday understandings is we had the kids over for a bonfire, and we started a fire, and we burned the wood, and we had the fire going, and no matter what we did, we can't get the wood back once it's burned. But it does provide energy to make s'mores. And you smush them together, and you melt it together, and you eat it, and it's a wonderful thing. If you go into the kitchen, and you begin to bake, and you take some baking powder, and you put it in the mix, and you put it in the oven, and you bake something in the oven, you can't get the baking powder back. The chemical reaction has happened. The thing that you bake has risen, and it is done. See, God doesn't want to transform you like a transformer. He didn't want you to become disciple, regular person. He wants to transfigure you. We're about to enter into a time of transfiguration. This Lenten season, we have to look at what it is that God wants to do with us. What I like about the Bible is the people that God uses. Peter is the rock on which we're going to build the church. If you walked into Jerusalem, 26, 29 AD, and started looking for someone to build a church on, I don't think Peter would be in the top 1,000. He wasn't that sharp. He wasn't that charismatic. He wasn't that, but what he was available. Look back in the Bible and you look at the great Moses, this lawgiver who comes to the top of the mountain with Jesus. See a guy who was thrown in a basket and shipped down the river. Grew up in an Egyptian household until he killed one of the soldiers and had to run away as a fugitive. He had a stammer or stutter that wouldn't allow him to speak, and God said, "You're going to go speak to the Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth." The greatest king of the Jewish kingdom is David, the youngest shepherd boy who played the harp, who became a king and began to take everything he wanted, including his neighbor's wife and having his neighbor killed, only a short time later to be called a man of God's own heart. So what we're going to be fighting over this next several weeks is the barriers to being transfigured. It isn't that you haven't become holy enough. We tend to make excuses. We tend to say, well, I think God could do something with Diane and maybe Jean and maybe even Bob, but not me. Making excuses and stepping away is something we have to get away from. Counting the skills we have and saying, well, maybe God can use that, is not what we're supposed to be doing either. It's the idea that we're supposed to step forward and let God transfigure us. But you see, if we step forward to let God transfigure us, we can't go backwards. It goes in one direction. Once God has changed you, you're changed for good. As we look at the end of Luke's story here, I don't think Peter, James, and John can ever look at Jesus the same way again. They have seen him in a situation, they've seen him in a way that they can never unsee. If you think about your life, there are certain episodes in your life that changed you forever. You can't go back to what it was like before that. Some of them are wonderful. I find it impossible to go back to thinking of what it was like before I had kids. I cannot imagine the mindset I had when I wasn't a father. Jesus wants to have you have that same encounter. An encounter with him that will leave you, I can't remember what it was like before Jesus transfigured my life and drew me close to him. Could you pray with me? Lord, as we come today, prepare us for this Lenten season where we try to think of what we need to do to draw closer to God, to turn things over to him, to allow him to remake us, to mold us, to move us forward in a way that won't allow us to ever go back. Help us to know it's not about our skills, our history. But about our willingness to trust him and be transfigured. And all God's people said,